God asked me a question. He goes, are you where you want to be? I said, no, I'm not. He says, yes, but are you following me right now? And I said, yes, I am. He says, if you will follow me and continue, you will be where you want to be. If you know in your heart that you're following me in everything I've asked you to do, and you're walking by faith, though you can't see it, can't feel it right now in the natural, if you'll follow me, I'm going to bring you into it. And when he said that to me, to set me free, because where we want to go, we can't get to on our own. You're not going to manifest this level of the kingdom of God on your own. None of us are. We have to go to be with him and follow him. And continue to follow him daily. And we do that, he's going to bring us in. He promised it. He cannot lie. He said, if we will dwell with him, he will dwell with us and come and do his works. Amen. That's where I want to be. I want to be where the Father's doing his works. Glory to God. Turn your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. He talks about the diversity of gifts, operations. There's diversity of gifts, diversity of ministrations, diversity of operations. And he lists the nine gifts of the Spirit. This was given to the Corinthians church. And he said in verse 12, he says, but these all worketh that one and self same Spirit. It's all done through the Holy Spirit. And he said something remarkable in verse 11, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Dividing to every man severally as he wills. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Holy Spirit dividing severally. He gave this administration. He gave this to the most carnal church in the entire New Testament. The Corinthian church, they came out of a lot, and they were very carnal. In fact, this whole chapter, 1 Corinthians, most of the book of 1 Corinthians is a book of correction. He was correcting them. Almost every single chapter, he was dealing with a corrective issue. Chapter 1, there was declared to me of the house of clothes, there'd be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And chapter 3, again, he was dealing with the issue of division. One says I'm of Apollos, one says I'm of Paul, one says I'm of Peter. But that wasn't just denominational division. I mean, they were fighting over each other. And chapter 5, there was incestual fornication. Chapter 6, they were suing one another at the law. And he goes, don't you know you're going to judge the saints and you're suing each other? Chapter 9, idolatry, fornication. Chapter 11, again, division at the communion table of Christ. In the whole book, he's dealing with one issue of carnality to another to another. Then chapter 12, it's God gives this church these operations, administrations, and giftings. If God did not anoint a carnal church, he wouldn't have very many people to anoint. Did you hear what I said? If God waited for us to be perfect before he anointed us, he wouldn't have a whole lot of anointed people. I look back when God called me to the ministry, because I pretty much just knocked on that door until he let me get in there. And he let me in way before I was ready. I'll be real honest with you. I mean, I could pray and I had a little bit of revelation, but I was not ready. But he let me in anyway. God doesn't hold that stuff against you, but it will cost you. Amen? But the Corinthian church had a lot of issues, and so the Holy Spirit was severally given as he willed, and he controlled the faucet by which it operated. You can call it a regulated anointing, or anointing in measure. He measured it out to a carnal church. That anointing was not what we've been looking at all through John 14, 15, 16, 17, when the Lord and the Father was working with him without measure. The Bible specifically says he was given the Spirit without measure. Said, yes, he's Jesus. We're not. We're never going to obtain. But that's not what he said. In fact, he gave us the keys, and we've been in it, the mysteries and the keys of obtaining his operation. But you see this other one here. Amen. And drop down to verse 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles and gifts. He leaves out the office of pastor evangelist. Those are usually qualifying gifts that move you into that office. But it's there. And then he says helps, governments, diversity of tongues. That's why you hear me say eightfold operation a lot. Because that the body is an eightfold operation. The fivefold ministry are offices, but it's really apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Those eight operations, you're going to fit somewhere in there. You're going to fit. Most everybody's going to fit. Tim might not fit, but everybody else will fit. Somewhere you fit in there. Now, those offices, as we know, you can call yourself whatever you want to, but you can't. I mean, people call themselves all the time things. I'm like, I'd sure like to see the fruit of that. So he said to the church, he says, are all apostles or all prophets or all teachers or all worker of miracles? Not everybody is an apostle. Not everybody's a prophet. Not everybody's a teacher. Have all gifts of healings. Do all speak in tongues. Do all interpret. Now, something interesting there about the tongues. Everyone can speak with tongues for edification. But the tongues he's talking about there is for public assembly, tongues for interpretation, where someone will give up a tongue and someone over here will give an interpretation of that. Not everybody has that public gift, but the private tongues for private edification, everybody has access to that who wants it. Amen? So he's talking about public operations here. Now notice what he says, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Notice he said covet. Covet, say covet. And you're going to have to go after some things in God if you're going to get them. Sometimes people think, to my knowledge, it normally doesn't just fall on people who are not hungry. You gotta really thirst for these kind of things. Amen. So you covet earnestly the best gifts. And then he's still talking to a carnal church. He's still talking in the administration of a carnal church. Notice what he says though, covet earnestly the best gift, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way. I will show you a more excellent way to do this. Aren't you glad he wrote that? I show you a more excellent way. That's what's happening right now. One of the things you need to understand about this, it plagued me for a long time, if that would be a good word, bothered me, frustrated me. Why God would give us and make us so rich in revelation knowledge and give us such incredible operation, but he wouldn't let us function freely. And believe me, I went after things hard. And I seen other people get it a lot easier. It's not about works, but I'm talking about going after it in faith and pressing into it. And the reason I said, Lord, why are you not letting us operate like this? Because he had us earmarked for where he's about to bring us. He's had us earmarked for a very long time to operate in what I call the anointing without measure. He's had us earmarked for this, and he wouldn't let us operate in the other in a full extreme. And the reason why, I'll give you an instance of what I'm trying to talk about. I remember when Brent Douglas was here and he put his anointing on me. I could function so freely in his anointing. When we tried to keep that rolling, it was like wearing somebody else's armor. It wasn't natural. Well, while he was here and it was on me, it was working. I mean, boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, Lord, why did you just let that flow like that? He goes, because you'll get used to that and you won't go find what it is I want you to find. See, a lot of times God will give you something in the anointing with measure. You get too comfortable with it. You won't go after the next one. Because you can build a ministry all over the earth with anointing in measure. They do it all the time. But God kind of
the way he led and designed us to keep us going down a path is he'd give us, make us very, very, very rich in revelation, kind of revelation to get us to where he is. Amen. Because he had his ear marked for something else. The anointing without measure. I would have loved for him to do that, but he knows what I'd have done. I know what I'd have done with it. It's not that I didn't want to operate in it, but he wanted to keep us moving towards the more excellent way. He said, now covet earnestly this operation, but I'm going to show you another one. Say, I'm going to show you another one. I'm going to show you another way to do this. I'm going to show you another way to function. I'm going to show you another way to operate. I'm going to show you, and he actually is going to unveil exactly what John unveiled. He's going to unveil it in 1 Corinthians 13, what John was trying to say. Amen? Because they were in measure, and Paul was trying to get them to be in the anointing without measure. Paul had it. I mean, Paul was explosive. Man, he'd go into cities and birth whole cities out. It's powerful what was going on. So let's drop into 1 Corinthians 13 and look at some things here. Verse 3, really powerful here. Though I speak with tongue of men and angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass. That's verse 1 and tinkling cymbal. You can pray in tongues. Tongues will edify you. Tongues is an amazing gift. A lot of where our revelation came from was I was taught to pray in tongues. Many, many, many hours in the early days. That's all we ever did. We didn't enter in like we do now. We just prayed in tongues. I just sit there all the time. My mind would just go everywhere all day long. I'd be praying in tongues all day. But tongues is a revelation gift. You're speaking mysteries. And God will answer those mysteries, give you revelation. Amen. He says, but you can have that, because he also says, though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries. There is one mystery that when you understand it, it moves you to love. But you can have a whole ministry of mysteries. We did for a long time. But not have this God kind of love. Amen. And knowledge and have all faith. You can move mountains and have not love. You see, it's not our love he wants. It's his love. Amen. He's going to differentiate that here. In verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods, I've referenced this often, to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. How could you not have love if you gave all your goods to feed the poor? I mean, if you went out and sold everything you had and started feeding the poor and somebody walked up to you and said, you did that out of yourself. I mean, you'd want to slap them. I mean, how could you say you don't have love if you could be compelled to give all your goods, or in the name of your religion, to be compelled to give your body to be burned? You know, the people in radical Islamists, they'll die in a heartbeat. They'll give their body for the sake of their religion. But he's saying you can have such human love, human desire can go to such lengths, but still miss the mark, see? It can move out and see what God wants is not for us all the time moving in the length and the sufficiency of our love. He wants us moving in the sufficiency of his love. And we can't move in the sufficiency of his love until we dwell with him the way he wants us to dwell with him. I mean, God is a wrecking machine in there in a good way. See, the thing about the Father, he'll have no gods before him. He'll accept you the way you are. He'll love you. But when something's standing there between you and him, love is going to wreck it. I mean, love is going to just take it out. That part of love is different than what you perceive love to be. But when you come with that kind of thing, and whatever there, God will accept you. But when love begins to initiate towards you, it'll change you. It just will. Deep, wide, intensely change you. I'm like, God, can we back off just a little bit? I mean, but that's the way he is, because he is going to burn you into oneness. Amen? The Bible says he comes with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, and the winnowing fork is in his hand. And he'll separate the chaff from the wheat. and he'll burn that chaff with unquenchable fire. As you get close to him, you're going to get close to his fire, see. And love has a fire that goes with it, too. Amen? It's not easy, but it will transform. But that's what love's going to do, is bring us up higher with God to where we function in the God kind of love. Amen? Glory to God forever. Now, he talks about love, and we've already heard this, but I'd like to read some of this out of the Amplified. Love, verse 4, love endureth long and is patient. It's patient. Love is patient. Love is patient. Say patient. Love is kind. Is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. It's not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. See, all those things you can go try to work on. But see, love's going to do that for you. Love's going to produce that kind of nature in you. That's what love does. That's what the Father does. He's going to make you like himself. Amen? Now, I want to get into verse 9. So we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Or you can say we know in measure, and we operate. You can say prophesy, or you pastor, you operate in your gifting, your operation in measure. He just used prophecy for that particular part. We understand, and we, in part, in measure, we're operating in the Spirit in measure. You see that? He just talked about that measure in 1 Corinthians 12. Now in verse 13, watch what he says here. But when that which is perfect is come, say that which is perfect. That which is perfect has come into fruition. What's that? That's the Father's love. When that which is perfect has come into fruition, that which is part shall be what? Done away. Do you see the shift? That's why he said, covet earnestly this operation, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way to do this. I'm going to show you a more excellent way, a higher way. It's going to require you to know the Father, because you can operate in a ministry, you operate in gifts and be full of yourself. Have you ever seen anybody like that? Let me ask you this. You ever seen somebody operating the gift of healing or miracles, and then next week you hear them splattered all over the news? Adulterous affair. And the whole church splits, and I'm like, how did that happen? How did God use them like that? Because he was using them with a gift. But Paul's saying, listen, I'm going to show you a more excellent way to operate, but you're going to require that you grow up. It'll require that you won't be able to just be carnal like you've been the whole Corinthian church. You're not going to be able to stay carnal and operate. You're going to have to grow up into the Father. He goes, you're operating in part, you're operating in measure, you're prophesying in measure, but you're all carnal. But I'm going to show you a more excellent way where you can come out of that. When you come out of that being in measure, you'll come into a fullness, but it's going to require that which is perfect to come into fruition. The Father's love is going to have to come into fruition in your life. The Father's love, what I'm talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, the more excellent way, this love is going to have to grow up in you. We know for love to grow in us, we have to dwell in love. Amen. As we dwell in love, oh, I love it. Notice what he says. Oh, that which is perfect has come to fruition, then that which is in part is done away. You shift. You move. You shift. You go up higher. Because when I was a child, I spake as a child, operated like a child. That's what he's talking about. You're operating like children. You're operating with a God, but you're out like kids. You're up like children. It's time to grow up and become full age adults. Say full age. And as you come into full age, that which is in part, the childish things are going to be put away. There's a time to operate like a child, but then there's a time to shift and grow up. See, in the kingdom, we can't just grow. We don't grow by linear age in the kingdom. We don't grow by a linear timeline. We don't grow up in the kingdom like that. What we do is we enter the Father. One person entering the Father can grow more in God than somebody's been in church for 40 years. Just because we're in church doesn't mean we're growing. I've been in church for a while. People who had strongholds 15 years ago, some of them have the same strongholds now. But you can grow. But we don't have to grow linear. The way we shift from being a child to a full-age adult. Listen, I administered as a child for 18 years, in my opinion. I was still a child in the eyes of God. But God is shifting in 1 year. Now we're only really 7 weeks in the love of the Father. But there's so much going on in there. As I'm looking back, when I'm in the love of the Father, I'm like, I couldn't get this 18 years of ministering. 28 years of knowing you in 7 weeks. I'm getting more than I got at all that time. And God said, we don't operate by linear time here. Because when I'm talking about shifting from being a child to a full-age adult in the kingdom, I'm talking about putting away the childish things, carnality, and childish in growing up in the love of the Father. He goes, you can't do that on your own. You do that by dwelling in the Father. And as the Father begins to dwell and you dwell in Him, and He begin in love begins to overtake you. He says, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, you're changed into the same image. As you're changed and transformed that image, you start taking on His nature. He says, you can move faster in 7 weeks than you moved in 10 years. If you're dwelling. If you're dwelling, that's why I tell everybody, just set your sight to the Father. The greatest thing I could ever do, whether I'm preaching to 10 or 10,000 people, is lead you to the Father. That's the greatest ministry right now. The other side is having the Father come and dwell and move in us without measure, and that's coming too, praise the Lord. But the amazing thing is we can put away childish things so easy. I tried to put away a lot of childish things in 18 years, and I was able to do that. And when I'm talking about childish things as it relates to the kingdom, as it relates to love. But there's a lot of things I couldn't do. But what I couldn't do, the Father could do so readily. Amen? And He's doing in an amazing way, in a very thorough way. How would you describe the Father? Intensely thorough. He's intense and He's thorough in everything He does. But His love is full and it's powerful and it's great. It's amazing. But I don't want to be in part anymore. I don't want to be in part. The whole church is in part right now. And in all creation right now is groaning in travail for the manifestation of the sons of God into the earth. The church is in travail. The world is in travail for the final manifestation of the sons of God. That manifestation of the sons of God, they will not be in part. They will be in full-blown glory. They have to come out of the Father. They have to go into the Father. They have to grow up in the Father, not by linear time. That's what people don't understand. We grow up into the Father very rapidly when we're consumed in His love. Love can consume us and develop us very fast. We can grow up to full age. I mean, you're a child one day. 3 weeks later, you start growing up into an adult because you're dwelling in the Father. And then the manifestation of the sons of God. We move, and that which is in part, you have to understand, is done away. Say done away. It's moved aside. And now we move into what Jesus promised us. The anointing without measure. It's not I that do it. It's my Father that's dwelling in me. He goes, the same operation I give to you. I give to you. Paul found it. He was apostle outside of the order of those 12. He was apostle, but he found the same thing God gave them. That's why he was pointing that church. He said, you got to come to the more excellent way. Paul saw it. He operated. When as a child, I spake as a child, understood a child, I thought as a child, when I become a man. That's what Ephesians says, we grow up into the full age. That's what God's going to do is bring us in adulthood. Here's the dilemma. Because people look at this and we start thinking, oh, how do we do this? Because we've been so long. We look at where we've gotten in our lives, walk with God. How many have been walking with God more than 20 years? Raise your hand. More than 20. So we've been walking more than 20, and you look at where we are, I'm like, 20 years, two decades, and this is all we've been able to attain. How are we going to obtain all this? Because you're looking at it according to that linear time you've been operating on. But it doesn't work like that when you shift into the Father. When you shift in the Father, what took you 20 years, the Father can go, he goes like this. I mean, you just, he vertically grows you overnight. You grow up in the kingdom because you're growing up in a love that's not of this world. Until you start dwelling daily in this love, you're not going to know what I'm talking about, because you're going to get a taste, but a taste is not enough. You gotta, that's why your faith's gotta get in there daily. Once you start moving in there daily, the Father in love and His love begins to initiate against every idol, every stronghold, known and unknown. Known and unknown. There're gonna be some unknown stuff. You don't know there are capacities. Stuff that's not even operating, but it's got a capacity to operate. God will just pull the capacity out of the garden. Oh, your garden had that capacity, and he just pulls the capacity out. Until you, the thief cometh, and he has no place in me. The thief cometh, and he has no place. Because the manifestation of the sons of God, you come back with the glory of the Lord on you. The glory of the Father. God, we are going to see the manifestations of the sons of God in this generation, in this time, in this hour. And God has earmarked this church. He has earmarked this body to move up into Him. And He's going to shift us on a timeline that's going to blow you away. How quickly He's going to transform us. How quickly and how radically He's going to transform until He creates the open heaven. To where people can come up and they can walk right up in. They will not have to pay the price for what has been paid already. And they'll walk up. It's just like before William Seymour, it was really hard to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now you can just, before justification of faith, Martin Luther, it was really hard to get saved. The truths get reestablished. The healing revivals, the gifts of the Spirit, the administrations of God, all things show up. Now I can get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and healed all on the same day. Took God 500 years to reestablish that. And when He reestablishes this final one, people are going to be able to go up, and God's going to start bringing His church. You're going to see a baby grow full-blown teeth and start eating meat. A babe in the Spirit will get born again, have teeth, and start chewing meat. There are people with 40 years in the ministry that can't handle what we're talking about. I'm not going to be in part anymore. God never even let us hang out in part other than Revelation. We didn't even get to hang out in part because He didn't want us trusting in it. He didn't want us building on it. He wanted us to go to the anointing of that measure. He didn't want us to be in measure. You know what measure looks like? You get all the crowds, people, they show up, and you got all the names there, and you got everybody, and everything looks good, everything's wonderful, and the clouds come in. It's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. This is it. Revivals, the whole city's going to transform. Every gift in the under the sun is here. Everybody's here. The best worship, the best names, it's all here. The stadium's packed. It's going to rain. It's it. This is finally. And it drops. The rain comes down and then stops. And all that expectancy that we thought it was going to happen didn't happen. That's what in part looks like. That's what in measure. We have such high expectancy, but it never comes. It's not going to come to the manifestation of the sons of God show up, and they're going to come out of the Father. You want to know where they're at? You want to know where the next revival is? It'll be in the Father. It's going to come out of the Father. And they that come out of the Father, He'll be with us. Look for the Father manifesting here, then you'll know. When He shows up, I think everybody's going to know it. Amen. They surely know about it in His day, in the Lord's day. They weren't happy about it, a lot of them, but the Father was evidently in planet Earth operating. Verse 12, a lot of people don't understand this. They think that this, like most verses, they think this is talking about the afterlife. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I'm known. Do you have any idea what's in that verse? Because now we see through a glass. We're looking at him through a lens because we're in measure. We haven't made it to love. We're looking at it from our lens system, see. But when we come face to face with the Father, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Father, I will they be with me where I am that they may behold your glory. When you're coming face to face or unveiled, say unveiled. I come into the Father's love unveiled, but then face to face, I'm going to know him with all the love he's known me with. I'm going to begin to know all the love he's known me with. I'm going to begin to know him with. Because he's going to bring me into the oneness of his love. That's what Paul was talking about. You Corinthians, you're viewing things through a darkened lens. You got administrations, you got gifts, you got callings, you got operations, you got offices, you got activity, you got function, you got a lot of carnality. But he goes, but there's a day coming. You know, he goes, right now you're looking at things through a darkened lens, but you think you know everything. That's what he's saying. He goes, but it's a darkened lens, but you're going to come face to face with love. You're going to come unveiled. And when you come face to face, you're going, all the love that he's known you with, you're going to know him with. You're going to come into union with love. And as you come into union with love, that's what he's talking about there. As you come into the union of love, say union. Oneness. Everything John was saying. I know in part, I'm operating in measure. I'm operating in measure, but then I'm going to know him the way he knows me. I'm going to finally come in. Amen. Now by the faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. Because we're going to know him with all the love he loves us with. Isn't that glorious? How many of you want to be in part? How many of you want to be in fullness? Of his fullness we are receiving. I want to get out of part. We're moving out of being in measure. Being in measure is you're always operating under that little ceiling. You don't know how to get past it. When you go into the Father, he blows that ceiling right out. And he blows the ceiling, you're going to come out. And that's Peter. I mean, they got it quickly. That's, you see him operating so fast in it. Because this doesn't take forever. It's not like the wilderness we've been in. This is promised land. Your first level of promised land is the Father. And then the Father comes and dwells with us. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. Come on, Sharon, share what happened.
I just wanted to share just a couple verses that goes along with what he was teaching and what he was showing me as he was sharing about the abiding and the love of the Father. In John 15:9, it says, as the Father, and this is Jesus saying this, as the Father loved me, also I have loved you. Abide in my love. And then again, he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And then again, he says, as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so I just, as Pastor LaRue been teaching about that we need to abide in the Father's love, I was seeing that we need to be immersed, which is baptized in that love. And if you are baptized in love, if you are immersed in love, you can only be immersed, you can only be baptized in that love if you're dwelling in it, if you're staying in it, if you're still in it, if you submit and yield to the process of staying and abiding in that love long enough where that love can come through and move those obstacles out, those stubborn resistances out that block the flow. Now, Jesus walked in more love than any other human being that had ever walked the earth. and he walked in the kingdom. And because he walked in love, there was nothing in his heart, because Pastor had shared that our heart is the birthing chamber. Because once we receive something from the Lord by transfer, spirit to spirit, in order for it to be manifested in the earth, the download may come into the spirit, just like we can receive a download from the internet into our computer. But until we open it up and read it and activate it, will it be of use? So we have to, once it's transferred into our spirit, it's got to filter through our heart in order to manifest into the natural. And there was nothing in Jesus' heart that was evil, that was anger, that was pride, that was, you know, greed, fear. There was nothing to hinder the flow of the Spirit of God, of the kingdom of God, where every single person, it said, he healed them all. And the other verse that that came to mind as he was sharing about when you're in the Father's love, and I'm going to share my experience in just a minute. It says in 1 John 2, and 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. But he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. And notice how it says, he abides in the light. So light and love are synonymous. So when he's abiding in that love, the light is going to come, and then you're going to be able to see. And then when the light comes and then you can see, you can deal with those things. But if you can't see the things, then you're not going to be able to deal with them. And so I'm just going to share my testimony was on Monday. I went in to spend time, you know, with the Lord and with the Father. And I got in this place with the Father, and I was actually just sitting on my living room chair and just communing with the Lord and the Father in a heart-to-heart level, total focus on the Lord, on the Father. And, you know, we go in through Jesus, leads us to the Father. But as I was communing with the Father in his love, I was weeping, I was laughing, I was just in this place, and physically, it was like it was real. I was nestled underneath his arm. Like, say, I'll use Pastor Chuck, if his arm, like the Father's arm, I was nestled underneath his arm, and I just was experiencing the Father's love, and I was thinking about, man, I know what Pastor Lou was talking about. So it's so funny how you can be having an experience and then, you know, go and think about something in the natural. And then all of a sudden, he showed me, he said, you have unworthiness. Well, when I was in that place, I've been asking the Father to show me the cracks in my foundation. I said, Lord, what are the cracks? I know there are cracks in my foundation, and I know I cannot fix them without your help. And without having experience with God. See, people can have head knowledge, but until it becomes a heart knowledge, it's not going to change you. It's got to get from the head into our heart. A heart experience with God is unchangeable. And so when he showed me the unworthiness, it just shocked me. I mean, I didn't realize I had unworthiness. But unworthiness is just one example of many issues, you know, that you can have, but that will block you from your destiny. And I had determined one time after I had listened to Pastor Lura, I said, well, forget it. I am not going to let, you know, whether it's fear, rejection, unworthiness, these little strongholds prevent me, little strongholds prevent from all your life from walking in the fullness and the victory of God. To get to a place in God where you can make visible changes in the kingdom and in people's lives. And it's all about people. He came, he died for people. He didn't die for things. The treasures in life are people. So I just wanted to encourage you with that.
One of the things you find is, just like she discovered that, that unworthiness, you wouldn't be able to see that with a natural eye, and you don't even want to try to see something like that. But when you're in the Father's love, there's such light there, like she's saying, that light, he'll accept you the way you are, but he shines a light because that stuff he wants to remove, because he wants to perfect the oneness. As he perfects the oneness, he's bringing you into perfected oneness, face to face. He's casting out the old. See, perfect love is casting out the fear. It'll cast out the unworthiness. And through that perfected oneness, which she's been knowing God for years and years and years, that's been hidden up in there the whole time. It just stays. That's the stuff that's keeping us from moving on up. But as we move in the Father's love, two or three sessions, he'll have that out completely. It'll purge out, and it's been there for years. In a full gospel. Survived 1,000 conferences. 18 years of our ministry. But one session in the Father's love. God can change. Isn't that glorious? That's why you want to set your faith to the Father. So he can start his transformation process to get us ready to come and dwell with us in power. Amen.